Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a football night in the Valley of the Sun, where this evening the New England Patriots take on the Seattle Seahawks in Super Bowl number 49 for the ultimate supremacy of the National Football League. And I, like Artie, don't care. In life, there are a lot of ironies that take place. One of the ironies I've discovered in my life was in the town where the Civil War turned was a level of racism that I never expected. So in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, there's a college, there's a seminary, there's a little town, and there is a YWCA. Now, the YWCA is built on seminary property. It was built there because when the people from the Y wanted to build a recreation center, the town fathers of Gettysburg wouldn't allow it to happen. Because those people would gather there. And so for a dollar, the seminary said, here, have this land. Build it here. It was really nice being able to go to seminary there because we got free passes then to the Y. There were all kinds of different facilities they had there, including racquetball courts, and I really enjoyed playing racquetball. Now, if you've never played racquetball before, you go into an enclosed room, basically, and you take something that looks like a stunted tennis racket, and you whack a little rubber ball around, needing to hit the wall and the floors at different times for a point allotment to take place. So there was one classmate I played with on a fairly regular basis, and after a while, I grew tired of playing with him. Not because I lost all the time, because that really didn't matter so much. Because sometimes I would win, sometimes I would lose. But what bothered me was the fact that he cheated. I would hit a ball, and you never turn around when you're playing racquetball to see where the ball goes, because you could get clubbed in the face pretty easily. But I would hit a ball, and I'd hit it fairly stoutly, I suppose, and there would be this inordinate pause of time. And just when I was thinking, well, what's going on? He must have missed the ball. Then the ball would just kind of come looping over my head. And I'm not a great scientist or anything, but once you start timing things out, a ball moving at a certain speed is going to come back at a certain speed, and it will take X amount of time for that to happen. And so when it doesn't happen within a certain time period, it makes you wonder to yourself, well, I wonder what happened to that ball that I hit that's behind me that doesn't seem to be coming back the way it's supposed to be going. And after having some discussions with other people that played this gentleman, it was determined that he was so fixated with winning that he would stop at nothing. And so I found, after a while, excuses why I didn't want to play with him. I really enjoy football. The fact that I don't care about this Super Bowl really has to do with the perception that I have of the two people who are running the two different football teams. Because the perception I have of both of these gentlemen is that they cheat. And because of that, I don't want to have anything really to do with it. It just really, really bothers me. The whole nature of professional football actually bothers me in terms of the way these individuals play, but you're feeding a lot of money to people who didn't get college educations but learned to get football educations, and you're setting them out into the world. So it's a little bit difficult if they don't have some sort of guidance, which again for me goes back to the coaching staff to be able to at least corral things in. But at any rate, I really don't care. I don't care because they have a responsibility that they are not upholding in my mind. The head coaches have a responsibility to set the tenor for the team. They have a responsibility to be able to ethically show the world exactly that they're going to play by the rules that everybody else is expected to play by, whether they agree with them or not. They're not going to do things to find competitive edges, that they're going to strike a competitive balance so everybody's playing on that same level playing field. Be nice if the world was that way, because it's not just football, is it? People cheat. People manipulate. People take things and twist them and turn them around. When we want truth, we want truth. We don't want to have to question what individuals are telling us. Where do we find truth? Well, one place we can find truth, I would say, would be the Word of God. The ultimate truth. But where does that come from? Well, biblically, we can just open the Bible up and read it and be able to discern some things from there, but it goes way beyond that. In today's first lesson, Moses is concerned. Moses is concerned because he's no longer going to go with the people of Israel into the promised land, and the people need to have a prophet. They need to have one who will speak the word of God. They need somebody who's going to tell them the truth. Tell them what God has in mind. Tell them everything that's going on. And God promises that that will be so. We get confused with prophecy nowadays. Because sometimes I think we have a tendency to view prophecy as some kind of future-telling, fortune-telling sort of thing that a prophet is going to be able to come in and say, well, this is what is going to happen. And I don't know that that's necessarily exactly what a biblical prophet is. Because I believe a biblical prophet's really one who speaks the word of God. That word might be a word that induces us to understand something that might happen at a future date, but a lot of times it is just the word of God spoken to us to be able to help us understand the way the world needs to be today. But why don't we have prophets? If you go through the list of the professional and volunteer staff here, we don't have anybody assigned as a prophet. I asked Bob Hudson if he wanted to do that. He declined. He said he wanted to travel more. But why don't we have a prophet? Well, I think we don't have a prophet because we really don't understand what a prophet is. If a prophet is one who speaks the word of God, then I got news for you, people. You are prophets. You are called by God to be a prophet. Now, that doesn't mean, John, that you're going to be able to predict exactly what the outcome is going to be this evening. Because honestly, I don't think God cares either. But the reality is, for us to live our lives as God's chosen people, as the baptized children of God, as the ones who go out into this world to do that work that God calls us to do, we're called to be prophets. We speak the word of God. In the conversations we have with one another, there we find the word of God. In the actions of our lives, in terms of the choices that we make, sometimes there we find the word of God. And then we become trapped kind of on that slippery slope, as it were. Because if we are ones who are called to speak that word, if we are ones who are called to live out that word, if that expectation within our lives is that we are called to be prophets of God, to be able to speak His word, then what happens when we don't? What happens when we cheat? When we lie? When we manipulate? When we cloud the truth? Then we become that other type of prophet. The not so good one. The false one. The one who does not speak the truth. Does not speak the word of God. Technically, we are called to be prophets, called to speak the word of God in what we say and in what we do. Called to be able to live out that experience to the world so when people look at us, they can have an understanding of what God calls His people to do, how God calls His people to act, and exactly what it might be for them to be one of God's children. Like the prophets of old, there are people who look to us for that understanding of how God works in the world. Because I can guarantee each and every one of us have someone in our lives who understands the seriousness of our faith, understands the spiritual nature of who we are, and looks to us to understand what it means to be a person of God. And when that person's looking at us, and we're not doing our best job as representing our God, and find ourselves acting maybe in ways of a false prophet, what does it do to that person's understanding of what their relationship with God could and should be, let alone what our responsibility and relationship to God is? We are called to present to the world boldly and bravely and clearly as it can possibly be exactly what God's word means for the world. And to live that word out within our lives. To not cheat and not lie and not manipulate, but boldly stand before the word for the world as God's prophets. Clearly speaking His word of love, His word of forgiveness, His word of salvation, His word of grace within our lives, helping the world to understand that even as God's prophets, we're not perfect people. But we can understand that through the relationship we hold with God, that forgiveness is very much within the realm of possibility for each and every one of us. And when we can recognize that we have faltered and failed in terms of what we're supposed to do, that we can kneel down before this God who has given us life and we can ask for forgiveness and truly know that that forgiveness will be granted within our world and within our realm and within our lives. That we may pick ourselves up again. And once again, approach this world as a prophet of God. One who is willing to speak God's word. But more importantly, I think, one who is willing to live God's word. God expects nothing less of each and every one of us. To be able to reach out to people in this world and help them understand exactly what our relationship with God is. And as His prophet, to be able to share His word of life, His word of truth. But most of all, to live out His word of love. Amen.